Today's scripture reading will be coming from Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus.
Morning. Before I forget, I almost forgot, Mark. Mark forgot one little bit today. From about 3:30 to 5, he's going to be over at the bus barn to make a deal. If there's something you just can't live without, well, go look, and he will take cash, Venmo, PayPal, small children, anything in payment, to be able to kind of clear out especially the big things to make room for more things as he anticipates and works toward the garage sale to raise funds for the mission trip. So if you don't, y'all get excited about getting to be some of the first ones in to look at something? Here's your opportunity. These are the pre-Black Friday sales times that you get to walk in and get that deal. So 3:30 to 5 this afternoon, bring them all the money you have. Go ahead and leave it with Mark, and it'll be good stuff. But that'll give opportunity for, as we work toward that, the full garage sale, to be able to have that go well. He just needs to kind of move some things as he goes along. And he likes to bargain, so, you know, he wouldn't mind just getting to haggle with you a little bit as well. 3:30 to 5 o'clock this afternoon over at the bus barn. All right? Well, before we get into Matthew chapter 12, let's have our prayer together, please. Father, we are so very grateful for every moment and every day that you've given us. And our desire has been to honor you, to glorify you in those moments. And in this moment right now, Father, we want so much for our hearts, our words, our actions to reflect that desire, that you will be honored and glorified, that not only we will remember who you are, but those who know us will see the difference you made in us and will be amazed by who you are and what you're able to do. Father, we know as we live out this life that we are so easily distractible. We get so caught up in things and forget what really matters. So help us, Father, to remember what you desire most, who you want us to become, the desire for us in this world so that you will be honored. We're grateful, Father, for the life you've given us through your Son, for the hope that we have because of it. And we look forward to that moment that this world will be a memory, and that we will be before you in all the glory and honor, the praise that we can give, and the joy that we have because of being in your presence. May that day be soon, Father. But help us today as we look forward to that moment. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. I've forgotten when this happened. And y'all may remember it from the news. This was in California. There was an accident that took place on the highway somewhere, and the paramedics were down helping the people that were in the vehicles that were affected by the accident. Firefighters, their normal response, they come up to the accident scene, and they take their truck and they block traffic to make sure the paramedics can work safely. Standard practice. It's the way they do it then, it's the way they do it now, to make sure that the work can be done so the paramedics don't have to worry about somebody speeding by and getting out of control and causing the effect to be even worse. Well, this highway patrolman came along and said, you need to move that fire truck so we can get traffic moving. And the fire engineer for this department said, nope, we need to protect the paramedics and the folks that are injured to make sure they're okay. The highway patrolman disagreed strongly and promptly arrested the fire engineer on the scene because he would not move the vehicle. Took him into custody. Now, we hear a story like that and we go, what in the world is that all about? The good news is, charges were dismissed. The officer had to go through additional training. I don't know what else may have been done in that moment, but we look at a story like that and go, everybody would know that it matters that we have to keep those folks safe. But our statement would be wrong because we have at least one person who did not see it that way. And in a life, usually these kind of scenarios aren't so easy for us to go, well, that just, everybody knows what you ought to do, and that sometimes there are things that because of our mindset, because of how we've been raised, because of what we believe, we are solidly in the camp with this law enforcement officer in what ought to be and the right way to be. And that's when we look at Matthew chapter 12, I think we get into that kind of discussion. Now, when you're hungry, what tastes good? Everything. Don't go shopping. Don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry, right? Because you will come back with more than you ever need, way above, beyond, and things that you know you shouldn't have. And that's just a measure. When we're hungry, we know, hey, put something in front of us. I need to eat now. That's the way we measure children, isn't it? If you're really hungry, you'd eat it. Well, maybe not all the time. So we have this going on in Matthew chapter 12. The disciples are hungry. It's the Sabbath day. They're going by this field, and they start to pick the grains off the plants and rubbing them and eating them. Now, that sounds like an odd thing for us to do, but for them, that would have been a normal thing. In fact, God had told the people of Israel, you don't harvest the corners of the field. You don't. It just, if somebody happens to pick some of the fruit off your trees, if they're hungry, you know, the grain, everything was just, you just took care of people. And so as they go along, they do that. And the Pharisees are watching this and they go, what in the world are they doing? Say, look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Now for us, we may not understand that concept, but on the Sabbath, do you know what you weren't allowed to do? Work. You're supposed to rest. They just pick grains of wheat. Look at there. We'll have to look at that. But they picked these grains. They had to rub them out to get them cleaned up. And then they ate them. So there wasn't just pick and eat. It was they went through the process of what would be called work to get this to happen. Stuff you weren't supposed to do on the Sabbath day. And so as the Pharisees looked at all of that, as they looked at what they were doing, it's like they're shocked that Jesus wouldn't even say anything to his disciples about, no, don't do that. We want to honor God today with what we do. That he didn't utter a peep about that. Now, we may look at that and think that the Pharisees were being unreasonable. What in the world are they getting on about? Why are they making such a big fuss about it? It would feel unreasonable to us. And so it makes sense that Jesus would say, y'all don't have this right. But the reality is that the Pharisees would turn around, if we said they were being unreasonable, they would turn around and said, look at what God said. They wouldn't say this was about what we felt. They would say, look at what God said about the Sabbath. Because for them, the Sabbath was not something you play around with. Exodus 20, when we get the commands that are given, the Ten Commandments, part of that was remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. What work are you allowed to do? None. You shall not do any work. So we get down to chapter 31. He's going to lay it out even more detailed. He says, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. They're not playing around. God isn't like, no big deal. It's like if somebody breaks the Sabbath, what happens? They don't come out of it alive. They don't get to try this out on another Sabbath. Whoever does any work on it, the person shall be cut off from among his people. This is something that they didn't play around with. And in fact, you get to Jeremiah, and one of the reasons that the people of Israel, the people of Judah, really are getting away from God, says they don't keep the Sabbath. So if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying a load and coming in through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem and not be quenched. In other words, part of the reason that the people of Judah were about to face judgment from God was because they did not keep the Sabbath. So when we look at that, when we see what's going on, it's like the Pharisees were able to turn around and say, God said, no work. God said, we have to honor the Sabbath. God said that anybody who does not keep the Sabbath will be put to death. God brought judgment on the people of Judah, the people of Israel, because they did not keep the Sabbath. Y'all want to wrestle with that? When we look at that picture, all of a sudden the Pharisees sound like they have a pretty good argument, don't they? When we think about here, the disciples are picking that grain and they're cleaning it up. They're doing things that we would say, they may say, well, we're hungry. And it's like, does it matter more whether you're hungry? Our sermon just got shorter. Does it matter if you're hungry or do you want to honor God? Which matters more? And if you word it that way, how many of us would go, it's better to honor God, I'll go hungry? And all of a sudden, the Pharisees sound like they're standing in the right place. There are a lot of things in this world, there's a lot of things that go on that for us, we may think this is cut and dry, no big deal, but the reality for them, it was not an easy thing. And in our lives, there are things like that where we look at it and go, I want to do what's right. And all of a sudden, we wrestle with, sometimes it feels like, do we honor God? Or do you take care of people? And we wrestle with that. So Jesus comes along and he says, you know, we think, oh, they missed it. Now, he turns around to him and says, wait a minute, have you not read? Didn't that sound like a teacher? Did you read your assignment? They'll turn around and quote God, and then Jesus comes back and says, have you read the Bible? And of course, they're going to go, yeah, I read it. But say, have you read? Not read what David did when he became hungry? They're the same thing. When you're hungry, what's allowed? He and his companions, I cut that short because I want to catch that one part. I love how Peterson words this because he says, Jesus said, really? That's the attitude we need to remember. Because he looked at them like, what? You haven't read really what goes on in Scripture. You haven't looked at the whole picture. Really? Didn't you ever read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? Did you read what God said? And so they took part and they missed it. And so that idea of what God had gone on, have you missed what goes on? And there's the message for us. We have to be careful to make sure we don't miss what God says really matters. So what does he say there in Matthew 12, 3 and 4? Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions. He entered the house of God and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. We go back to Samuel and we get the story. As David's fleeing, he gets there to the tabernacle and he asks the priest, hey, you got anything laying around? Because we're on a mission here. We need to, you know, when we're on a mission, we're holy. We're doing it for God. It's not just something the king has in mind. And the priest is like, the only thing we have here is this consecrated bread. But if you're, as long as you've kept yourselves from women, you know, women are troublemakers. Do you hear how he puts that like that? He says, as long as you've kept yourself holy, we can give it to you. Now, the story really gets to be a mess as it goes along, but he gives him that bread. He gives him the sword of Goliath, everything that goes along and says, because of who you are, he doesn't know what's really going on. And so we know that consecrated bread is for whom? Back in Leviticus 24, It belongs to Aaron and his sons. After they've taken the bread, they've made it, they put it into the tabernacle and the holy place. After they've done that, it belongs to Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in the sanctuary, because it is a most holy part of their perpetual share of the food offerings presented to the Lord. It belongs to the priests. It is not to be eaten by anybody else. It is not to be eaten by their families. Did y'all catch that detail? They don't take it home. They eat it there. And so for David to walk up and take that bread, it went right against Leviticus chapter 24. And so it missed what God had in mind. And so then again he says, haven't you read? There again. Let's go back to Scripture, he says. In the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, yet are innocent. You think about what happened in the temple every day. When you got up in the morning, what was one first thing they had to do? Clean up the ashes. Make sure the fire, if it hadn't gone out, they need to have the fire going. And the morning sacrifice had to take place. And in the evening, they had the evening sacrifice take place. On the Sabbath day, are they allowed to build the fire? If they were at home, no. But in the temple, they took the wood, they got the fire going, they made the sacrifice, which was more involved than just laying up some animal. They had to make sure they had to clean it. They had all these steps. And it says, nobody ever said the priests are doing wrong because they're doing this on the Sabbath. They knew that took place every day of the week, Sabbath or not, as they brought it all together. And because of that, he says, look, you didn't complain about David. You didn't complain about the priests, because there's something more that goes on. Oh, here's what I had that laid out. You know, nobody ever looked at the smoke rising from the temple on the Sabbath day and said, oh, those priests are sinning over there. That's not what was going on. And so for them, in the fire and the sacrifice, they knew that they were doing what God wanted. And part of it that's going on, and in a sense, I should have titled this lesson something along these lines, because 2 weeks ago we talked about great faith when Jesus pointed out, you know, you want to see somebody with great faith, and he pointed out examples. Last week we talked about being greater than John. And here we should have said something, there's something greater going on that we need to pay attention to. That's not a good title. I need to shorten that up. But that idea of the theme of the greater, what goes on, he says there's something greater than the temple here. In other words, there's something more that you need to pay attention to than just what you think is right here in this moment. There's a bigger picture, and part of that bigger picture is what God says matters most. What are God's priorities no matter what? What has he said at the top? And part of what Jesus says in this text is something that matters to God above everything is mercy. Because y'all see what he quotes? If you known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. That quote comes from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. What God says, this matters more than anything else. Let's go over to Hosea. I'm going to use the NLT here because the wording, I think, was very good. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Now, didn't God command them to make sacrifices? Didn't God command them to present burnt offerings in Leviticus? You can go through and see that. God tells them how they to do it. God's priorities are such that they needed to pay attention, not to just the this is the right thing, but a bigger picture of what goes on in this world and what matters to God above all. And so when we look at that, Isaiah, I love Isaiah chapter 1, because he takes this principle and he really lays it out where God says, you look, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? They were offering sacrifices as God commanded. And God says, I have enough, more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, of the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Now, if you stop there, you go, wait a minute, Lord, you said, I'll make these sacrifices. You said, come into the temple. You said to do all this. But what they didn't catch was how all those things we were doing became empty. He says, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. It's like, what in the world? All the things God told them to do, God says, I am worn out because you miss what matters. Your new moon feasts, your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. That's a scary place to be if God tells you that he hates what you're doing. They've become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And hear what God said. Was there things that matter in his priorities that they overlooked that made all these other things meaningless and empty? There are greater principles at play that if we don't pay attention to them, it makes all these other things worthless. And so their focus, God said, keep the Sabbath to the people of Israel. And they had forgotten the Pharisees that taking care of people is a high priority for God. And when they missed that, their focus on the Sabbath became meaningless, empty. Now we know in all of that, we know that, but here's the struggle. How do we live that out? Because for us, we look back at what they're saying about the Sabbath and we go, that makes sense. That's no problem. But I guarantee there are things in our lives that are just like that, that other people may look at us and go, I cannot believe that y'all do that. And we're going, we're doing what's right. And how many times have we done what's right, quote unquote, and missed what God wants most of all? Which makes this meaningless. Well, he's going to go on. This next section, he says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Now, when we read this verse, we have to keep in mind, how many of us are slow to learn? How many of us insist on learning things the hard way? See, that's what we have here. They've just been taught. You're missing the point about what God desires. And now they come back, and they're wanting so bad to catch Jesus in doing something against God's command. And they come up and say, hey, is it right to heal on the Sabbath? Their question really is, are you going to honor God by keeping the Sabbath? Or are you going to disobey God and heal this man? That's the contrast. Now, that's a false dichotomy, but for them, you have to choose between honoring God and healing and doing good. And for them, this was an easy answer that they could put. Here, I need my next page. Look at there. I will not use that tape next time. Now we know Sabbath was serious business. So when we come back to this conversation, it's easy for us. But for them, the Sabbath was serious business. All those verses we looked at, Exodus over and over again, Jeremiah, Numbers, they didn't play. Here they are out in the wilderness, and a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron, the whole assembly, and they kept him in custody because it was not clear what should be done to him. I think it was clear. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. So the assembly took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord commanded Israel. Now from that verse, how seriously did God say, you keep the Sabbath? It wasn't just something you talked about. God said, put him to death. How many of us will go, well, wait a minute. He's got a family. Wait a minute. He's just picking up sticks. He's not down there cutting up trees. And God said, put him to death. So we know that for them, that this picture of, are you going to honor God by keeping the Sabbath, or are you going to heal this man and disobey God? For them, that was how they would word it. But what does Jesus do? You know, Jesus turns around and says, stretch out your hand. He says flat out, I'm going to heal the man. But then he comes back and he's going to ask them, you know, it's a Sabbath day. If you have a sheep and it falls into a pit, what are you going to do? You know what they would do? They would pull it out. You don't leave it there. You take care of your animals. And that was not breaking the Sabbath. They would say that was not breaking the Sabbath. It was you had to take care of your animals. And so now he says, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Well, how valuable is a person? And that's where he tells him to stretch out his hand. And it's restored. Just as sound as the other. And here is the principle that he wanted them and he wants us to grab a hold of, is to realize how God sees great value in taking care of people. He says people matter. The choices we make should reflect the values God holds. And so as we put that all together, so that God would look at us and say, you know, we could say, Lord, look at all the good things I've done for you. And God would say, how did you treat other people? How did you live that out? Now I forgot I had Mark up here. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. From Mark's version of the story on the grain. So he's telling them, yeah, God made the Sabbath, but he didn't make it to be master over people. He made the Sabbath for the good of the people. And when they missed that, they missed what God had in mind for us. You know, there's a phrase that's used talking about, would you rather be right or be happy? Usually it's used in context of relationships. Would you rather be right or happy? Do you want to have this argument with your spouse and be right? Or do you want to really look at what's most important and have the relationship be what it needs to be? There's other ways this is put together. Would you rather be right or loving? What would we want to be known for? Would we want to be known for doing everything just right, but being hateful and judgmental and mistreating other people? Or would we rather be known as folks who are loving and caring and value people? See, when Hosea, God says to Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He wasn't telling the people of Israel, no more sacrifices. He was telling them, those sacrifices are meaningless if you don't become the people that have the character that I seek. And we know that. 1 Corinthians 13 says what? You can do all kinds of good things, but if you don't love, it's empty. Meaningless. And in our lives, we look at ourselves and we have to say, you know, who do we seek to be? Do we live by what God says matters most? And make sure that guides who we are every day and every moment. Part of what we have is each other, to pray with each other, to encourage each other. And if you need that today to help you get your heart where it needs to be, if you've forgotten what matters, we can do that for you and with you. Or maybe today it's the day where you want to get things in the right priority, to put on Christ in baptism, become His in every way, through and through. forgiven, to have life, to have joy. You can do that as well. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Only a step, come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate, loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late, Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified.
Number 523, I know the Lord will find a way for me.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say, well done?
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at the end of this service to take what Leslie has taught us and take it with us as we go out this week and really think about what the Lord can do with us with his help. And also we want to bring to you the people in our congregation that are having challenges with their health that you be with them and comfort them and be with Mary Epson as comfort her in her loss. We also want to really praise you for all that you do with us. In Christ's name, amen.